We will not be held responsible for any hearing impairments or damage caused to you from excessive exposure to this sound.
Welcome, everyone, to the Oral Fix Podcast. I'm your host, Henry Diaz. This is episode number 49. Welcome, old listeners. Welcome, new listeners. Oral Fix is a social commentary podcast for the gay community. It can be listened to on iTunes, SoundCloud, Podomatic, Facebook.com/TheOralFix. Stitcher.com/OralFix. And if you listen to it on Stitcher and you follow that address I just gave you, make sure you enter the promo code OralFix. I love Stitcher.com. Stitcher.com has a whole bunch of great podcasts on different types of genres, topics, and they have a great sharing feature. So if you find like a great podcast like The Oral Fix and you want to share it to people on Facebook or Twitter or via email, it has like little shortcut buttons on there, and they have a thumbs up or a thumbs down type of system of ranking. So make sure you give it a thumbs up, as well as on iTunes and on SoundCloud. Thank you, everyone, all the old listeners and new listeners that listened last week. You guys actually gave some hearts on SoundCloud.com and some likes on Facebook. Thank you very much for supporting the podcast. And I encourage everyone else who's listening for the first time or who just hasn't gone around to leaving a comment or liking on Stitcher.com or on Facebook or Google+, please do so. It will help out the podcast in the long run. I'm really shocked that no one's tried or attempted to win the contest that I posed last week. The contest is going to be open for the month of June. Anyone who has listened in the past to the podcast knows my favorite sitcom drag queen character. Actually, in the sitcom, she's not really a drag queen, but the person, the guy who plays this person, is doing drag, basically. So, I'm going to give you one hint, and the hint is this show was produced in the 80s, late 80s, and it ran into the early 90s. And it was featured on the East Coast on Channel 9, and if you listened in the past or haven't listened yet and you want to go and rummage through the archives, go to www.oralfixpodcast.com and you can listen to the archive shows there. and you'll find out who is my favorite drag queen sitcom character. And if you do, make sure you let me know via Gmail. The address is oralfixpodcast@gmail.com, or you can call it in at 646-504-3491. And also let me know why you listen to the Oral Fix podcast and why have you been listening to it continuously. And I'll make sure to, if you guess correctly, if you're the first one to guess correctly, I'll submit your email address to Mr. Dale Lazaroff himself, and you'll win the PDF copy, which is a digital book that you can view on your phones, your smartphones or tablets, of his unpublished book, Fancy. And I have to tell you guys, I got the link from Dale Lazaroff himself last week after the show aired. And since I've been laid, you know, on my back because of me falling down the stairs last week, I took a look at the book itself, and while I was in my bed, and it was pretty hot and sensual and erotic as his previous books. I did leave a little a snippet of a picture of the book Fancy, which hasn't been published yet, everyone, on last week's show notes for episode number 48. So, you know, if you haven't submitted the answer yet, there hasn't been a winner yet, so make sure submit the answer, and I'll make sure you get that copy of the PDF of Fancy. And let me know if you call it in or you write it in, and also your reasons for listening to the podcast, and your also feedback. I will let me know whether or not if you want to be anonymous. If not, I'll include your name in the announcement. So let's go on to the review of my week. Okay. Are you guys ready for this? Sit down. Are you sitting down? Well, okay. So I've been feeling better this week. I've been doing a lot of recuperating. I've also been organizing myself for the Renaissance Fair starting August 4th and ends on the 23rd of September. It's only on the weekends. For those of you who don't know, you can also go to the New York Renaissance RenaissanceFair.com to find out anything else about it and how to get there if you're interested in going. So I got organized. I organized my makeup. I still have to organize Lady Chamaca's accessories. I got some really new, nice period clothing from thrift stores that I went to this weekend. And this past week also, I got some new makeup, which is great. I can't believe like the type of makeup you could get at the dollar store. I mean, it's amazing. The makeup has been amazing. They have like shea butter in it and all these nice healthy ingredients, and I'm like really surprised. It's good to know that, you know, that cosmetic can be so healthy like that. Because otherwise, I have sensitive skin and I get rashes or irritations. I remember last year when I had this one pink eyeshadow that I would put on, and the eyeshadow wouldn't wash away like very, you know, I think I had to take like several showers, like it took several days for it to come off, and it gave me like a really bad rash on my eyes. Can you believe that? And I got like literature from the library and CDs to help me better in my pronunciations of the Elizabethan speech and to brush up on that. And, you know, the stuff that I got, I thought was going to help me and, you know, and brushing up, but it really hasn't. It's more like history based and really, really old English. It's like the English spoken before Elizabethan speech, the Anglo-Saxon speech. And it's amazing. I haven't returned it back because the history and the stuff that I'm learning, it's really, really amazing stuff that they really don't teach you here in American schools, at least here on the East Coast, where the Anglo-Saxons came from, how, you know, how the language came to be about. The most fact rich thing that I had learned from one of the sets of CDs that I got, auditory books, was that the language itself stems from a really ancient Anglo-Saxon language, which came from deep in the Indo-Anglo-Saxon area of Indonesia, which is like the south of India somewhere. And this was, you know, the Anglo-Saxons really, you know, came from those areas and came from like the Switzerland, Dutch Viking areas over there, out there and up north of Europe. And they were, you know, when they became Anglo-Saxons, like the real Anglo-Saxons of England, they were mixed. They were mixed with Latin cultures, I think maybe even some Asian, you know, whatever other cultures that were around there, even Celts. And then they became, you know, the Anglo-Saxons at some point. And today there really isn't, you know, people may call themselves Anglo-Saxons, like Scottish people, like the true Anglo-Saxons, but supposedly the Anglo-Saxon people of that time period and era don't really exist anymore for some reason. I don't know if there are any Anglo-Saxons out there that are still living and you're listening to this podcast, let me know. I would love to hear more of that history. So what else? That doesn't have to do anything with gay culture. Let's see. Right before I got on the podcast, I saw this thing on yahoo.com. Cher takes her mom to meet the president, and it's a really interesting article. I mean, not because of what the content they wrote about is interesting, but the pictures in it are interesting. Cher's mom is like beautiful. She's like 86 years old and she doesn't really look her age. She looks like she might be in her 60s. And Cher herself looks beautiful also. The pictures don't look retouched or anything. And she also took a picture with Chaz Bono, her son. Now son. and Chaz looks really healthy. And you know, Cher and Chaz, because of the surgeries they've gone under, at least Cher, because it's more been, I guess, a lot of facial plastic surgery, she looked flawless and it doesn't look like it was photoshopped. So I'm gonna link that to the notes. I think that there's been a lot of news like spread about and on the web. It's just been too much this week and I just couldn't really concentrate on anything, so I have really nothing to report but just that, because I've been doing a lot of healing this week, which has been good. So I'm not going to fill up your eardrums too much with a lot of reviews or updates this week. But, you know, I am going to I am gonna say that I had a dream while I was sleeping, you know, me and my dreams, of Peter Bishop again. You know, the guy from Fringe who is played by Joshua Jackson, who's really cute, has really nice blue eyes and cheeks and really plushy cheeks. And a really cute and defined chin. Him and John Noble, the guy who plays Dr. Bishop on the show, and Ator were there also. There was no, you know, making love in this, but there was like a makeout scene, you know, between me and Joshua Jackson. And it's not like I've been thinking about him or Fringe, so I don't know why I had this dream. It's really interesting how dreams just they come about and come to be when we close our eyes. I mean, I guess in my subconscious, maybe I was thinking about Peter Jackson. Peter Bishop and Joshua Jackson. I don't know. It was, you know, he hugged me, he kissed me, he on the lips, and him. And Atorv and John Noble all smiled at me and it kind of like faded in the background after a while. It was just, I don't know. It was really interesting. I guess it was a parting gift or something, because the season's ending in the fall and maybe they're trying to tell me they're not going to give me the ending that I really want. I don't know, but I'm really starting to feel like I should invite Joshua Jackson on the show. So stay tuned for that, people. All right, so let's go to a break and we'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone. That was Matthew Dear, song title Crime Waves. And I love Matthew Dear. I just stumbled onto him through a record label site called Ghostly.com, which I'll talk about more in the next segment. Let's move on to that next segment, Sniff and Scratch.
Sniff and Scratch. Sniff and Scratch.
And Sniff and Scratch is where I update you guys on the latest things that not so much there is trending out there, but that I stumble upon and I think that you guys may like and enjoy in tech, movies, health, ecology, anything out there in that realm of gayness, of higher intellectual minds. It's mostly, you know, movies, tech, relationships, videos, gadgets, computers, stuff like that, and art and ecology, as I introduced last week. So this week, there's not much, but I do have stuff for you guys. In tech world, there is a Dash robot, and in case you guys don't know what a Dash robot is, they're robots that are manufactured that walk, that are used like for surveillance, for carrying weight, or for, you know, multi-purpose things. And usually I think the Dash robot was created, it was like through military funding of some sort, I believe. If I'm wrong, please somebody correct me. And I found an article on CNET, which was very interesting. There's a Dash robot, a little small one, actually, about the size of maybe a cockroach, maybe even smaller, that has been taught through computer engineering and stuff. And I think with some help of Velcro, they say. I really don't know how it works, and the person who wrote the article didn't really describe in detail exactly how it does this. But, you know, a cockroach can, you know, gross cockroach. A cockroach, a gecko, and I forgot what was the other animal that can, or insect that can do that also, can walk over a ledge and go and keep walking underneath side on the other underside of the ledge. Yeah, imagine that. And and I believe like the way that this actually works is that there's some type of Velcro material or something on the legs of the Dash robot, and it's really interesting. I mean, there's no motion to this on the article. They just have some pictures of you know, shot to shot from like maybe a camera burst or still shots from a frame and from a video frame. And it's really interesting how this little robot can do this. Now, if this little robot can do this, imagine what else it can do, or imagine what else they have behind door number two, or in their basement that they've been toying around with that we don't know. And when I say basement, I mean, you know, that's a metaphor. So I think that it's something that you guys might want to take a look at, and it actually works. You know, now that I'm thinking about it, I think I'm going to Google it, Dash robot, and see if there's any videos. Dash robot cock. Can you believe that? You spell cockroach like cock, and then roach, cockroach. cockroach. Yeah, here we go. I think there's a video here. Amazing. Yeah, I found it. But it's it's really not doing anything. Oh, yes, here he goes. Oh, wow. Okay, so I have a video for you guys. I'm going to link this on the show notes for you. And this is amazing what it can do and what I'm seeing right now on this video. So the person that's seen it actually, you know, did a lazy job there of actually providing that video link. So I'm going to put it here as a Dash Robot video link. And that'll be on the show notes. Something else in tech that caught my eye, and I think you guys may have a geeky interest in, is the HMDX Jam Bluetooth speaker. what I like about this is that it's a Bluetooth speaker, and it's just one speaker. Yes, I said one speaker. And the way that they're selling it and marketing it right now is very cute. It's in a glass jar. I believe it's glass. It's probably plastic, but it looks like if it's like a jam, like a jar jam or something. But it's actually the speaker inside, and the speaker is about like, you know, the size of a fist, maybe smaller than that. And you can actually plug this in with a line, or you can do it via, sync it in with a device via Bluetooth and play your music through it. It's, you know, supposedly has good quality sound, but it's not nothing, you know, to wow at. It's not like, you know, stereo surround, but, you know, the packaging, the style of it, the form factor, it's beautiful, and it looks simple and sleek, and it's only $40. So knock your socks off there. I'm going to link that to the show notes. I particularly don't have like any reason to buy one of those, but I think for the most part, if I did have the money and I just wanted to just test it out or just have it around for something, I don't know, the bathroom maybe, because I love to listen to my podcasts while I shower, but I have my own set of speakers for that. They're loud enough. I would probably, you know, consider the speaker or maybe a pair of them. I you know, that's one thing I don't know, if they can, you can actually work them and link them as a pair, but so far I think devices like this, they just, you know, work alone. So especially when you're streaming over via Bluetooth, that's two channels to two different speakers, unless they sync and they kind of triangulate to that one Bluetooth device, I don't see that working. But you could do your own investigation and find out. It's there on the show notes. Moving on to mobile, to smartphones. Now, everyone, when I say mobile, I mean smartphones. Though mobile can actually, you know, it's so general that it can be very encompassing of a lot of gadgets that are mobile. But in terms of technology that's mobile, smartphones mostly, this really hasn't been anything that really has caught my eye. It's for me to like really talk about. Maybe the Bluetooth, that Bluetooth speaker could have gone under here, but that's more like tech. Anyway, nothing really happening and exciting in the smartphone world of mobile, except for this latest iPhone rumor from Apple Insider, which was that I found over on CNET. CNET has compiled a large timeline. I forget how far back it goes, of iPhone rumors like that predate predate the Worldwide Developers Conference before it launches. And last week I said that the Worldwide Developers Conference was going to start last week sometime, but it's actually this week that starts tomorrow, Monday, the 11th. I think that there were some check-ins and some other preliminary things that happened last week, maybe on the 5th or 6th, but the actual announcements start tomorrow, Monday. So supposedly iPhone 5 is not going to be talked about, or the mini iPad tomorrow, according to the sources from Apple Insiders, which stem from the manufacturing company of the iPhone itself, back in Asia and Foxconn, and which makes sense because, you know, when the rumor leaked out that the 4-inch screen was being ordered for the manufacturing of the iPhone 5, that was back in June. And so that means that they're in the process of making this device. And even though it wouldn't be ready to sell it's going to take quite a, you know, some time in order for those to be prepared for selling or launching. But normally, this just doesn't make any sense to me. Maybe this rumor is not right, and it's just on top of all these other rumors that really are don't happen. Because even though if they didn't have a bunch of iPhones ready for us to buy, like, let's say by, July or August, and they launch, well, it can't be a launching, it'll be an announcement. You know, if it does happen tomorrow and it's an announcement, that means that, you know, the products won't be probably finished or ready to go until like October, which is another rumor people have been speculating that the iPhone 5 is going to actually go, it's going to be announced and launched in October or September instead of tomorrow, which normally I don't think this, it's been a while since an iPhone 5, or an iPhone in general, a new iPhone was sold at the same day that is, or the same month that it's announced. So some of these rumors are distorted, and I think they're probably are, you know, just people trying to get people's attention on the online and getting page ranks. It's there for you guys to read, but I think what's even more interesting to go through is the Apple iPhone rumors that have been compiled at CNET. Something for you guys to look at. In apps, we have this one. Well, I'm going to talk about iPhone apps today. I'm sorry, you Android guys and girls, but two that caught my eye, and I, you know, if this iPhone 5 turns out to be my new phone and it blows the Galaxy S3 out of the water, then I'm going to get this app called Camera Plus. It gives you a more sophisticated and rich camera application and for your iPhone. So the one that comes with the iPhone, it's good, but it's not like feature rich like this one. Camera Plus like gives you like an ability to do HDR and tweak the settings. It gives you multi burst shots and plenty of other stuff, even filters. And it just looks really impressive, and it's gotten a lot of attention lately because it had a second year anniversary. And also, it's just gotten really great ratings and reviews in the App Store. The next item that I'm going to talk about the app is called Ghostly Discovery. And this is a app from Ghostly record label that I spoke about earlier after the break. And Ghostly.com has a player online that you can, if you click on the link and go to the one online and mess around with one on the website, it is really freaking cool. I've blogged about it in the past on the Oral Fix Podcast blog, and I can't speak highly about it enough about it because it's really simple. There are three little levels, one for mood that you can move up and down and set to how you're feeling, and there's a color that's applied to it. And then you could, the other two levers are one for tempo and whether or not you want it to be digital or, and they have like these, like, it's almost like, I don't want to say barometers, but there's a scale of what kind of digital to what kind of organic sounding music you want to listen to and to the type of tempo that you want. So all those three things combined, the web app and also the mobile app for iPhone, and it sucks that it's only on iPhone, gets you like it does like this Pandora thing where like it gives you a compilation of all of their music that they have on their label. That's some of it, it's like it's for free that you can download, but most of it you have to pay for, and most of it is at a good price also, I have to say. And and it gives you really great content that you can listen to and actually discover. So it's a really smart tool, and two thumbs up for Ghostly. I love this app. I think it might be only 99 cents. I may be wrong. But I think there is a charge to it. So moving on to movies, we have movies and TV and YouTube land. I when I was doing the Prometheus reviews, well, listening and looking for other people's reviews, I found on CNN Rotten Tomatoes review of Prometheus, and they also reviewed Madagascar 3, which I didn't know came out. And I haven't even watched Madagascar 2. I've heard both of them weren't the greatest. I seen the first one, and the first one was funny. It wasn't like extremely funny, but it was great. And the third one, the trailer, I always judge a movie by its trailer. And I'm sorry, it's like judging a book by its cover, but most of the times I'm right. And the trailer is awesome. I mean, I think it's really funny. And Rotten Tomatoes, I forgot what grade they gave it, but they said it was hysterically funny, and it looks hysterically funny. There's a giraffe in there that looks like the giraffe from this old 70s bubblegum, which I can't even remember the name to now, or I think it was a candy or something. It was a giraffe that was like many different colors, or was it a zebra? I think it was a zebra. Anyway, the giraffe in the trailer is really funny. He does like this like rainbow polka dance and song, and the rest of the trailer is funny. Even like there's a pillow fight between the penguins, and the penguins are always funny, especially in the first. That's why I went to see Madagascar, the first one, because it had, the penguins were funny and hysterical, and so were the lemurs. There's a Wonder Woman movie now actually being contracted, and they've gotten a guy, co-writer whose name is escaping me right now. The co-writer to Green Lantern is writing the movie for Wonder Woman. And of course we have Batman and we have Superman. Everyone else is getting played up on the silver screen. Why do they leave Wonder Woman out? And it's always been hard to get a Wonder Woman new sitcom or movie out. And so this looks like it's like for real now. Like they're really serious about this. Warner Brothers is on. I believe it's Warner Brothers. They say it's Warner Brothers here. Co-writer is Michael Goldenberg. And I believe, yes, Warner Brothers is signing on to this. So, and also, that they're just writing it now. So they don't have any actors or actresses lined up for the movie just yet. So I guess in the next 4 or 5 years, we won't see a Wonder Woman movie, but, a Justice League movie, it's I don't know if it's in production, but they're writing it, and some unknown writer is, well, that to me is unknown, is writing it, and he wrote something for Zack Snyder's forthcoming Superman. No, that's not him. I'm kind of like skimming through here, but it's real. DC is investing money in creating a Justice League movie, and as you know, Avengers, for all you guys who are diehard comic book fanatics and Avenger fanatics and Marvel Universe fanatics, I really didn't see that like making any big money, Avengers, and it did, and I still haven't seen it yet. So that's something for you guys to think about there, and to look at the Justice League movie, as my neighbor is calling me right now and my phone is vibrating. just distracted me there for a little bit. The guy who, it says here, I'm trying to find this guy who's actually writing this, but I can't seem to find it. And for some reason or another, this article, like, you know, said that the Green Lantern movie wasn't the greatest. And I have to disagree with that. Like, it wasn't a failure. Maybe it was at the box office. I don't think it was, because they're coming out with a sequel. Sometimes some people have a way with writing that I just don't agree with. So that's that. What else is going on? All right, so I was laid on my back. I'm healing because of my back injury this week, and I've been going through a lot of videos, and there's been so much that's been happening. Like I mentioned earlier in the show that I couldn't really focus on things, and some things that really popped out at me was the Brady, this guy, he's on, he has like 6 videos online. His YouTube channel is called Kirby Khan, and he's been doing like he's been superimposing people into old shows like the Cosbys, as well as the Brady Bunch and Cheers. And I found the Cheers one. I found his video channel through, I think it was Accidental Bears blog, and there was a Cheers video that they did with some drag queen in there who was really funny. And the same person who played the drag queen there played Oliver, the little, I think it was cousin to the Brady Bunch kids during the 70s, that 70s show, the Brady Bunch, for some of you who are probably of the newer generation who don't know the Brady Bunch. And it's really funny, the parody that this guy built. He makes Oliver into like a street cursing, low life little kid who has problems, who's actually gay, like severely gay. you have to watch it. It's like cousin. Slutty cousin Betty Sue from down south comes and visits the Brady Bunch, and I have to warn you, there's a lot of cussing, but overall, it is so bad that it's really funny and good, and it's for those of you guys who are into something different. I'm gonna link it there in the show notes. talking about so bad and so good, I also ran across New Now Next had the uncut, or the scenes that didn't make it to the RuPaul season 4 reunion, and there were some questions and answers there that were kind of cool. But I think the highlight for me was when Willem explains why she puked. And finally, we get an answer for that. And it wasn't something really big and special. Like, I thought, like, you know, she did drugs or something, or she drank too much and she didn't eat. But it was close to that. Something else was the interview with on the Daily Freak Show with, I can never pronounce the name. I'm going to try here. Damiana, I don't know why she has that hard name, but hey, my drag name has a hard, but has syllables though. pronouncing name La Chamaca. Damiana did an interview with Sharon Needles, which is hysterically funny. You have to watch it. It's just really funny. And then Mike Enders does another bathtub YouTube interview, and this time he interviews porn star Jake Deckard from Rolling, mostly known for his videos on Raging Stallion, and it's pretty funny, and it's just really nice eye candy to look at. And now in music, there's been really nothing that I've come across that's really worth to talk about or buzzworthy, I think, but one video, which again, this goes under that category, it's so bad it's good. I believe they're German or Swedish. This is German here, so it's Die Antwood, the duo DJ electro group, put out a new video called "Babies on Fire," and boy, is baby on fire. I mean, this has been, they've been blogged about when they first came out with that really freaky, their song Freaky. It was on the blog at theoralfixpodcast.com, and the video was freaky, but it was really like out of the box, and it was very avant-garde in some ways. They just like to break the barriers and just go over that little borderline that says it's a brother and sister scenario in the video, and the brother keeps chasing the sister's boyfriends out of the house, and the sister keeps you know, she keeps inviting the boyfriends up and trying to have sex with them. And it's like, you know, the tale of a young girl coming to her age of puberty and experimenting with sex. And it just goes to the deep end. So it's there for you guys to look at. And in fashion, if you haven't heard yet, the American Apparel, just in time for New York City's Gay Pride. They contracted Isis King, one of America's top model, transgender top model. I don't know who she is, really, because I really don't watch America's Next Top Model. But she's pretty, and I found her through Accidental Bear again, and I'm linking that to the show notes. I think you guys, she's wearing like these really cool, I love American Apparel, but by the way, like their underwear is great, like the color stuff. And they have t-shirts now promoting gay marriage, legalized marriage, something like that. One says, the other t-shirt says, it's okay to be gay. No, gay okay or okay gay. Let me look at that. It's cute. It's, you know, it's quirky. But I don't know if I'll buy a t-shirt. But, you know, Isis makes this look really, 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 really something good and something that you might want to have in your wardrobe. Gay okay is the name of the t-shirt. Gay okay. I don't know. I found two videos, actually one video, one website called Alpha Omega Underwear, and I found them through Facebook and the little ad section there. And they have some really cool, not all of them are really cool, but some of them are pretty cool, underwear. And one of them is they have two different styles. One are briefs and the other are jackstraps. The jackstraps are okay, but the briefs are pretty cool. Like, they is something to, like, you know, consider if you're buying Andrew Christian underwear now because of all that crazy promotion happening out there on YouTube land and on Facebook. But Alpha Omega underwear, they're really simple, they're not too skimpy, they really have a nice form to them and colors. So they have like these little stripes that go down your crotch. One of them I particularly like, they're red, and then they have another stripe right next to it, which is yellow, which is spaced apart like about an inch. And the only thing I would like to see more from them is maybe some butt shots to see what the underwear looks like from behind, which they don't really show you, but something to consider. And something else to consider here, last but not least, is Slick It Up. I'm sure you guys have seen this website through Manhunt. Seen their ads for different types of lifestyle or sexual encounter type of clothing, undergarments. But it's something that caught my eye was these underwears that look very like Prometheus, the movie uniform type of underwear. It has like this really nice spacey feel to it. And it's really weird too, oddly enough. It has the same colors that the uniforms, and it matches the uniforms, well, the spacesuits in the movie Prometheus. They're like blue. Spacey blue, dark blue, and kind of mystic blue with this really nice, rich, bloody red. And that's it for Sniff and Scratch. Let's go to a break, and we'll be right back. That was Mux Mool title track, Palace Chalice. And that's from the Planet High School album. That's someone else that I found on Ghostly, and ghostly.com, that is. And Mux Mool, I've been listening to his music for almost a year now, and I love it whenever any of his tracks just like pop up on my iPhone or Android device. Yes, I did say iPhone. I have an old 3G that I don't use, but I don't use for phone calls, but I do use for listening to music or podcasts in my living room. All right, so let's go to the next segment. That is Go Ask Alice. Hi, and this is Go Ask Alice, where you can ask me anything you would like. I'm not really Alice, but this is a segment which I've dedicated for metaphysical things, so I can speak about them and actually have a platform for you all who are listening to call in and give feedback or share your own stories or ask questions if you'd like. And I started a trend which I would like to keep and continue every week of pulling out a card for the week. And so it will attune you and everyone else, including myself, on, you know, how to guide our thoughts and our actions throughout the week until the next podcast. And for this week, I've pulled out the card Death, which is also known as Semi in my ancestral tongue. And Semi is a dualistic meaning to it. My people choose to see it as a spirit or the entity of spirituality, which is God, consciousness, or the creator. Or spirits in general, if you make a plural out of it. But the Maya see Semi as also the just death, the spirit world, the afterlife, the place where things go to renew itself. And in any traditional tarot deck, you'll find Semi death as a good thing, not a bad thing. Though we never know how death will, you know, will actually happen. Death of things, death of people, places, and things in general. And in this, what I'm getting here for the week for all of us, according and going along with the other cards that I've pulled out for the month and last week, anything that you're doing this week, anything that you're focused on or it becomes something of time consuming is, and you're having a hard time deciding what to do. Now, remember the card that I pulled out was complexity. It was all about 12 and handling and balancing and kind of like, you know, really using that center focus from the previous month. If you're applying death here for this week to all of that, you know, what you're essentially doing is you're putting down, you're letting go things that don't really work for you, that really you can't carry anymore. So if there's like some extra baggage, dead weight, so to speak, that includes people, places, and things that just outlive their purpose. I think I spoke about this last week as well. Let it go this week. Our minds, our focus this week, our divinely consciousness should be focused on letting things die, you know, or renewing things. So you have something that you want to throw out, but you think you can still repurpose and do something with, then do that. if, you know, the same rules apply to a relationship. You know, is there a relationship with a friend or a lover or something, some part of it that needs to be repurposed or it needs to be renewed? Apply that mind of thinking, methodology, I should say, to that. Otherwise, it's going to be a do or die situation. It could be pretty ugly. It could be that you will not let go and you're going to be dragged through the mud and through any other nasty scenarios, or, you know, your relationship with that object or person or whatever it is, place, you'll encounter a rough patch because you won't let go. It's always really good to really consider thinking and listening to that higher self, that better part of yourself that is always telling you, you shouldn't eat that because you're going to gain another 5 pounds. Like I have. I've gained like 25 pounds, I think, over the winter. That's not good. I'm like almost like 180. That's not really good. I mean, it doesn't really totally too much looks like it because I spent a good amount of time of my years as a human, especially since a teenager, weightlifting. So I have a nice body, but I have a lot of fat, or maybe it's just a lot of muscle there. But yeah, it's time to let go. So if you need to change your diet, also change your diet. as Miss Piggy would say, I have like this little saying on my refrigerator. It says, "Never eat more than you can lift." So yeah, it's all about letting go this week, guys, girls. You know, let go or be dragged, and maybe there might be some type of death unforeseen to you. And you know, don't look for death around the corner just because I said this. Don't, you know, keep expecting something to die, because it just, I don't think it's that type of death. It's just, you know, but there might be a chance that happens. And some of you guys might call me and say, hey, you were right. And if I was, let me know. You can give me a call at 646-504-3491 or send it as an email, oralfixpodcast@gmail.com. Another topic that I would like to bring to Go Ask Alice is the notion of dreaming. As many of you know, I have like these outrageous dreams that I share with you all so nicely. dreaming is a very delicate thing. If some people say that, I don't dream, I don't remember my dreams. I think we all dream. And as scientists prove, when we're sleeping, we have this thing called a REM sleep, which is a state where our mind is constantly, it's let's say, unpacking everything that's happened to us during the day, and it's refreshing our system, regenerating us for the next day. And while that's happening, our mind is also working, because our mind works along with the rest of our body and tells our body what to do. So obviously there's something going on in that dreamland, in that headspace of ours. And I for me, you know, for people who do remember their dreams or recall their dreams, you know, the way I started handling my dreams and getting a grip on them, because I would have different types of dreams. There's these different types of states of dreams that we have, and one is a very lucid state, where we recall a lot of things. Those are lucid dreaming, is where it's like really detail rich, and we could wake up and remember what they said to us, or what we were doing, or what was being done to us. And also we can remember the feeling of the dream. And then there's another dream I don't really have a scientific term for this, but I only have an American Indian background perspective on this. And this is a spiritual dream, or a higher state dream. This is a type that it involves almost like an out-of-body experience, where you just don't feel like, you know, it was a dream. You feel like everything is happening to you more. It's like lucid dreaming, but, you know, to the 10 max. You know, and in sensory perception, everything about the dream just seemed real. Like, it seemed like you were in your physical body. Well, actually, most times when that when you're having that type of dream, you don't necessarily feel like you're in your body dreaming. You feel like you're in your body but not dreaming, you know, like you're actually, everything's happening to you at the same time. So there's a more of a recall there, and that particularly is not REM sleeping. And and for you guys who are wondering what REM means, it means rapid eye movement, and that's your eyes like flicker and they keep moving around while you're sleeping. And that's the most commonly known type of sleep before there is, well, dreaming before there is, lucid dreaming. Now there's so after a higher state of, or out of body experience dreaming, there's another type of dreaming where, it's called deja vu, where you're dreaming about something, and then not until like several years later, or maybe a day or two later, the same thing you were dreaming about happens to you and in your waking day and life. And I've had many of those where, you know, I've been to, you know, the dream itself has been so outrageous, and things have had, that transpire in the dream takes me to, a place I've never been to, later to find out that I'm actually in that place. And, you know, several days later or years later, experiencing everything that I experienced in the dream. So it was like a foreshadowing, and those are really prophetic, like very like psychic based, I tend to believe. Other people have different theories about deja vu dreams, and for me, they're more than just, you know, some type of scientific terminology to it. And I think there that you really go into the future somehow. There's a podcast I listen to called Paranormal Podcast, and somebody was on there recently talking about how we can go into the future and manipulate the future and see things in the future. And I believe deja vu, and as this guy was stating, I wish I remember his name, deja vu dreams are actually us like having some type of form of out-of-body experience, but going into the future. And going into the future involves like all this like emotional stuff, like, which I'm not even going to get into. But deja vu is like a glimpse into the future, and or that you've actually traveled into the future. Like this weekend, as an example, I went to another county from where I live, and I was in a small little town with a friend of mine, and we were going thrift store shopping for my Renaissance costumes, and then we passed this town, and everything seemed like really familiar to me all of a sudden. And I said to her, I feel like I've been here before. And I looked to this one store, and I looked away from it, and I said, I've been here. I really have been here. And I shocked her because I was so overwhelmed by the feeling, because in the dream then, I didn't know why I was in that town, but I was in that town, and I was in front of this health food store, which had a very unique name called Back to Health, or Back to Nature, I believe it was the name of it. And the rest of what played out in the dream, or the deja vu, actually happened and played out in the day as I passed the store. So it really plays with your mind. But so, you know, when I was young and I had these dreams, and even till today, like, some dreams can just baffle me, even higher state dreaming. I would read up, go to the library to read up more about it, and I seek the counsel of spiritual people that were more advanced than me, and it helped me to formalize some type of system to gain some control over my dreaming. And one of the best practices to recall dreams or to actually see what the significance behind the dreams are is to have a dream journal. So whenever you have like a spectacular dream or an intense emotional dream, you write it down. You might not know what the meaning is then, but when you look back on it like a week or two or several years later, you'll actually see the meaning and the signs and clues behind that dream. And most of the times, I have to say, most of the times it has to do about our emotional state and our subconscious actually talking to us. And if not, then they're actually, signs and prophetic things that are behind it, like deja vus. Some people even experience having direct communications with a past family member who's passed away or a loved one of some sort. And like myself, like my dead ex-boyfriend who came back to haunt me in my dreams. Another good practice to have by you, like let's say if you're having nightmares, or even if you want to have like clear lucid dreams, is to put a clear bowl of water or a clear glass of water underneath the bed space that your head rests on. Or if you have a nightstand near the nightstand, which I'm assuming is by your head or in the path of your head. Or having crystals also, like an amethyst crystal. Amethyst is really good or quartz crystals. Well, amethyst is better for dreaming and nightmares if you're having nightmares, or jet. But a quartz crystal is good, though just be prepared that your dreams will be really, really, really energized, because quartz crystals are all about channeling energy and actually holding a lot of energy, and it's always like a quartz crystal, especially depending on the clarity, can be overpowering for dreaming. So just be on your own best guide on that. And, if you're going to mess around with crystals, it's always helpful to get a crystal book. And I'm sorry I have no good references for you at the moment, but I'll link some on the show notes. And Judy Hall makes a really great, I know that's one of my favorite crystal authors. And check it out. And I hope you guys have sweet dreams out there. I think I've given you a mouthful to think about. And those, are really simple tools and easy tools to start off with for beginner dreamings and getting a handle on them. And hopefully, if you guys like this enough, I'll do another, let me know, and I'll do another cast, Go Ask Alice, with the meaning and symbology behind dreaming. So let's take a break, and I'll be right back. Welcome back. That was Lucene, Two Dots, the Nick Fanciulli remix. And that was somebody else that I discovered using the Ghostly Discovery application. All right, everyone. So this is the top of the hour, the end of the show. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you for supporting. Please make sure that you rank and or give feedback on those podcast players like iTunes or SoundCloud.com or Podomatic and Facebook. And, you know, if you go to the show notes, leave a comment on the show notes at www.oralfixpodcast.com. Also, you can listen to and rank and rate the podcast on Stitcher.com/OralFix without a space and enter the promo code OralFix for that monthly $100 cash card drawing. And, you know, if you want to follow my photography, you can follow me on Instagram, Henry M. Diaz. And or you can follow me on Get Glue and see what I'm watching. I also tend to post that on Twitter, and you can find Oral Fix on Twitter as well, Oral Fix Podcast. And on Facebook is facebook.com/TheOralFix, and also on G+, Oral Fix, or you can look up the podcast on G+ by entering my name, Henry M. Diaz. So, you know, if you're on Manhunt, I just want to give you one word of advice before I leave. please post decent shots of yourselves. I've been promoting the podcast on other countries and on Manhunt. And you know, America is the most sleaziest country out of all of them. And second to rank is, England. And third would be Spain. All the other countries that I've been to promote the podcast on Manhunt, they're decent. They're not showing their buttholes. They're not showing their hard-ons being beaten or other nasty pictures. Come on, guys. I mean, really? Do you really? It's not like it's not smuthunt.net. It's manhunt.net. be nice to each other. Sleep. Have great dreams. Sleep well. And I'll catch you guys next week. And here I'm going to leave you off with I'm sorry. I always say this. I always pronounce this group's name as Giraffe, but it's Giraffage. And the track is called Feels. Take care, y'all.
Thank you.